Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In 2018, Nathan Mackey Sr. published a book entitled The Dignity of Profit, Building Community Through Entrepreneurship. In it, described the call that we all have as Christians to go out into the field to make a difference in the landscape that awaits those servants who do. A general approach to the way this plays out at field level was provided, but now there's been some actual experience that we use to flesh out the process. Nathan's new book, The Dignity of Service, The Power of Social Entrepreneurship, is about how to garner the support necessary to make projects like these be all they can be. Nathan's earliest real experience as an entrepreneur came at 12 years old when he began a newspaper route, mostly on bicycle, sometimes on his horse. An impressive background, a degree in business administration, commissioned as an officer in the U.S. Air Force. Nathan worked in manufacturing, distribution, retail, and computer sales. Some of those were as business owner or independent contractor. He later received his MBA. General manager of a manufacturing company, later created his own manufacturing company, then as a business broker and a retail consultant. In 2016, he launched Luke 16 Corp., a nonprofit organization focused on community development. Nathan Mackey Sr., author of The Dignity of Service, The Power of Social Entrepreneurship, our guest on This Week in America. Nathan, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
This book is so important and so well done, and I want to start by understanding a little bit more about you. If you'd be kind enough to go through some of your background, I did it very briefly there, but such an impressive background, and this really leads to the book, The Dignity of Service. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I spent a lot of time doing a couple of things with my dad. One of them was working in his retail store, which I really didn't have a whole lot of fondness for and didn't think that I would ever do that. But, you know, as fate would have it, I did. The other thing was lots of times he would go to pick up items from some of his suppliers. And I spent that time sitting in the vehicle we were in, watching people and that sort of thing. So I got interested in that. And sometimes I'd take something to read and got really very interested in reading things that were more than just adventure novels or that sort of thing. My dad was a consummate businessman, very good at being able to make decisions about what to buy and then sell to the retail public. And so some of that started to come back to me as I got out of college. I spent 4 years in the Air Force and then went back and, as you had mentioned, got my MBA after that. And that carried me a lot of places. But I kept going to work for people who just didn't seem to get it. And sometimes you can share that, but unfortunately or fortunately for me, the folks were not welcoming what I had to say to them. So I decided that I would do it for myself. I was working for a hardware distributor at the time, a very old company. In fact, I got the job mainly because my dad had purchased from them when he had his store. And it was a good experience, but they were still kind of stuck in some of the ways that hadn't been used of recent times. I mean, they were fine at the time when they first came out. But I got into business with my own home center, they call them. It's kind of like Lowe's or Home Depot, those types of situations.
Yes.
Fell in love with the concept. And one of the things that I really liked about it was that I was hands-on with people. I could wait on customers, and I could deal with other people that, you know, that worked for me and that sort of thing. And I really enjoyed it. But I had a real unsettling sort of thing that happened that my partner was not able to live up to some of the commitments that he was supposed to have, and the thing ended up in court because of the way the bank was sort of doing it as well. And when I got through with that, I thought, you know, I can't be the only person on the planet that has had this kind of experience. I guess I really was an entrepreneur and didn't know it at the time because I had, you mentioned my taking the newspaper route, and, and I found out that it really is business. It's not just riding around throwing newspapers.
Exactly.
But so I thought, well, that might be a good thing for me to do, to share with people. And then the more I thought about it, I thought entrepreneurs are kind of mavericks. And there are a lot of people who get into business because they have a passion or they have some idea of getting rich, which, usually is not the case. But they don't really want someone else to tell them what to do. So I thought, well, that's not going to work. So I just sort of put that back in the back of my mind and thought, well, maybe someday people will be interested in what I have to say to them about my experience and what I have learned through other different things that I've been involved in a business setting. So that kind of got me interested in where I am today. As retired as I'll ever be, but you mentioned Luke 16 Corp. I'm in process of doing some things with that. It is a nonprofit, but we're using that as a way to fund for-profits. A lot of people don't think you can do that, but you can, and it's actually the best way to use money that you have gotten either from a grant or a loan or whatever. So I'll mention more of that later, but at this point, that's where pretty well what got me to where I am. I was a retail consultant for a while. I was a business broker, and I still own one business. It's a sign making shop. I've had that for almost 20 years now. It's just a little extra thing that helps put food on the table, and it also gets me connected with a lot of businesses that, and see what they're doing.
You know, it's interesting, all of that background, you called on all of that for what you're doing now. The name of the book is The Dignity of Service. We'll get into this here in a second, The Power of Social Entrepreneurship. Our guest is the author, Nathan Mackie, that's spelled M-C-K-I-E. Book available, the publisher is stratton-press.com, available at all the usual places. Nathan's website is dignitytrilogy.com. We'll give you that as we go throughout the program. What exactly happened, Nathan, that made you decide to write this book? What's the motivation to write The Dignity of Service?
Well, I finally realized that there should be a way to communicate to people the importance of looking on business as not being the other guys. I've been involved with church work and also and the various sides of that. People seem to listen real well when the story is told about money being the root of all evil, which is actually not the way it was said. It was being the love of money. But I found a lot of people, as I tried to look into some of these projects that churches could be involved in and ought to be, that they need to consider all that there is out there, look at it from both sides. And I mentioned this to a pastor friend of mine who really wasn't that keen on what I was doing, but he could see what my passion was. And he gave me a book called How the Church Fails Business People. So I read that book, and it was a good book, but the best thing about it was the bibliography was just very extensive. And I found an amazing book called Church on Sunday, Work on Monday. I enjoyed it, but I didn't think that most people would, because it was two academics. They had gone very meticulously into the vagaries of either side. Church people basically think, well, we'll take business people's money, but we don't want to get our hands too dirty with that. And business people know that they're doing that, so
yes.
they're not that interested in playing along with that game. So that's what led to Dignity of Profit, and I thought I'd never write another book, and so 275 pages, and it just really kind of bogged people down. My my late wife said I should have turned it into a textbook, and maybe that would have been good. But I was just trying to figure out ways to get that a point across.
Yes.
And so I got a call from Stratton back in late 2019. They wanted to redo the book, and I said, "Well, I don't know that I want to do that. I've got a few copies around here I'd like to sell, for one thing." But so I said, "Okay, here's the deal. I think I need to give a means for people to get engaged in this, because if they read all this and say, 'Oh, well, that's fine and well,' but I don't think that has anything to do with me." But the more I delved into what it means to be gifted, not talented, but gifted to do something. We're all here, and we have a gift, and it's up to us to figure it out. I mean, it doesn't just land on your desk one day and says, "Here's what you're supposed
exactly.
to be doing."
Yes.
You have to do a little something to figure it out. So that's how I started looking at this, and why I called it the dignity of service. I learned a lot, but I had already learned what a spiritual gift assessment was like. It's a very liberating thing. Unfortunately, even most churches don't get too excited about this, because the church members are afraid that they're going to be plugged in a hole that they don't want to get into because of the results of this assessment.
Yes.
But I found one that was not geared that way at all. It was very wide open, more opportunities to take a look at it. And not only that, ways to use what it is that you have learned. I've been on a lot of mission trips, and I was always put off by the fact that it usually had to do with house building or rehab. Wasn't spending a lot of time in dealing with the most important thing of how are people living their lives and how can they do better for themselves and be a part of things. And it always seemed to me that when I went on one of these mission trips, that the people were sitting there waiting for you to come and do something for them. You leave, and then you come back the next year, and they're still waiting. And nothing had changed other than what you had done when you were there last time.
Yes.
And in fact, there are quite a few instances where people have gone and just sort of figured out as best you can. It's all sorts of different ways that people approach mission trips. But I found some that that made sense, and I thought, well, this is the key to using what Dignity of Profit was all about, and doing it in a way where they can get engaged. They don't have to do that, but everybody can be in service and should be. Business essentially, demands it. I don't care what kind of business you're in.
Yes.
If you're not serving your customer, you shouldn't be in business. So.
It's interesting. This book is The Dignity of Service. The author is Nathan Mackey. That's MCKIE, Stratton-Press.com. You can find the book. Nathan's website is dignitytrilogy.com. It's interesting. What has been your experience with people who perform service-related jobs?
I had a grant that we secured for Luke 16 back in 2018. And the idea was to have two components of this. One of them was a small business incubator, which people basically know what that's about. But the other one was to be a real-life opportunity for people who didn't know what they wanted to do with their lives to come in. It was a cafe as much as anything else. Most of them got some money from some employment program that was going on to come in and work there for a few months. It was a good experience on one side, and the other side it was not, kind of like life is, something good,
yes.
Something not so good. So what we found was that some of them just didn't have any clue, and we really brought a couple of kids out of that. I mean, they were scared to death of asking a customer if they could help them. I mean, it seems crazy, but I think part of it is that we have so many of these younger ones that they walk around with their noses in their smartphones and
yes.
And don't communicate with people otherwise. So it was a good experience. But one of the things that everybody needs to learn is if you're going to be in a situation where service has to be there is that there are going to be some very unpleasant circumstances. I mean, there'll be people who just because they are spending their money think that they have a right to treat the people they're giving it to any way they want to. So it's a tough thing, but it's great to for me. That's why I decided to take this approach, because to be able to help someone accomplish something that they can't do on their own is a great thing, and it's very fulfilling. I mean, even if you go on one of these mission trips and, you know, fix people's houses, they may be a little bit, you know, jaundiced about what all is going on, but at the same time, they do at some level appreciate what you're doing, and that's a very fulfilling thing. So I think, you know, if you want to do something that can be more than just producing a product and selling it or that sort of thing, service-related jobs can be a good way to get into it. And so that's why we approached that. And as I said, we did have some good experiences. We had some that I think they did learn something from it, but I don't see that they were able to really benefit yes. from everything we had to offer them.
You know, you really open a lot of eyes, and the book is receiving excellent reviews. This book is called The Dignity of Service, The Power of Social Entrepreneurship. Nathan Mackey is our guest on the program, MCKIE, if you're Googling, Nathan Mackey Sr. Book published by Stratton Press, their website stratton-press.com. Nathan's website, DignityTrilogy.com. Boy, the time is going by so quickly. So much to talk about. Interesting when you think about it. How does a person decide they want to be in service to others? Talk about that decision-making process.
I believe it's a calling. Of course, the key to that is you're going to have to be paying attention to what's going on around you. I mentioned the spiritual gifts assessment. That's one way to see if that's how you're wired to do it. But the other thing is that I've gone on some of these websites where someone will ask a question that's related to entrepreneurship or being in business, and they want to know, you know, how do I know which one to get into, or how do I know whether I even want to be in business? And I always tell them, you know, if you want to do that, pay attention, number one, because there are things that are going on out there, things that you would be interested in. Figure out what you're interested in, and then how do you get in it and make money at it. And that's how I did it. I mean, I was very interested in the hardware business and building things. I built a couple of houses myself, and, you know, it's kind of fun to be doing something that you enjoy on one hand, and you help other people have the same enjoyment. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, not just looking at what you're doing as a job. It should be a profession of sorts, or at least a vocation.
Well, you mentioned passion before. It's obvious your passion when you read The Dignity of Service, when you listen to you during this conversation, the passion that you have. A few minutes left in the program. You talk in the book about moving the poverty needle. What does it mean to be working toward moving the poverty needle?
Interestingly enough, one of the people that I hadn't mentioned earlier, because I was hoping this would give me an opportunity later on in our conversation, but a guy named Robert Lupton, FCS Ministries in Atlanta, and he's been at it for almost 50 years now. And what he's done is he's reset the mark, so to speak, and how they do food pantries and that sort of thing. And he talks about this poverty needle. And basically what it is which way are we going? I mean, we're going forward or backwards. In many cases, we're not going anywhere. We're just kind of holding on there because the government gets involved in different programs, and people figure out how to make it. You know, they just, you know, kind of float along in life and do whatever they can to make a go out of it, and don't really accomplish much of anything. And we tend to to treat things as a crisis when they're really not. You got a chronic situation would be in places like I went and did some work in Joplin, Missouri when the tornado hit
yes.
there, and I saw, you know, stuff that houses falling down, and when they came back to try to rebuild stuff, they couldn't even find who owned them. And they didn't want anything done for it because it was going to go for a tax sale, and they lost a lot of people who moved away and never came back. And the chronic situation was there really wasn't much for people to do, and so they just found a place where they could exist. And that to me, existing is not what we should have our life amount to. And that so moving the poverty needle is finding ways to get people from where they are now to somewhere that makes a lot of sense and helps them move out of that situation. The things that the government gives don't get people out of poverty. They give them enough to make it sometimes, and that's about it.
Well, you take the next step. That's why this book is so valuable, The Dignity of Service, The Power of Social Entrepreneurship. A couple minutes left in the program. Very basically, what do you hope the takeaway is when somebody reads The Dignity of Service? What do you hope they come away with?
I would hope that they'd be encouraged to do something to figure out how they're wired up so they could take a look at it and do it with the intent of not being shoved into some hole or cubby hole or whatever by someone else. I mean, you should be able to do that on your own and look at possibilities of how things around you can be better. That's what social entrepreneurship is. It's not, some people look at it as a social enterprise, which is one way to look at it, but most of the time that's a grant or something like that has come along and, you know, give running water. I mean, that's a good thing to communities, but that doesn't do much for an individual. So what we're looking at is trying to find ways to get communities to say, look, we really want to do something about this. In fact, these two books and the one that I've just released, The Dignity of Trust, all go together to make what it takes to have a community that is viable and able to work together. We've got a situation now where people are driving anywhere from 25, 50, 75 miles a day one way to work, and then coming back, and, you know, they're tired, they can't do anything else on the weekends and that sort of thing. But it takes people some leadership in the community to say, what can we do? And what Luke 16 is about is helping those people get it done. I find very few people to say, well, we don't, oh, it's okay. Well, I happen to live in a place now where they think it's okay, and it's not. But
yes.
If you can get enough people that care about the community to come in and work together, they can find that they like some people they probably didn't know very well and maybe didn't think they liked them. But if you work together to a common goal, which is to help the capital base, because people don't understand how important that is. Okay, my house is here. I like it okay, you know, and I'll go with how it is. Well, at some point, that property is probably going to be up for sale, and if your capital base in the whole community is low, people are not going to pay what that house may be worth. It happens over and over in the communities that I've seen. They'll come in, someone goes into a nursing home, or they die, and their relatives want to sell the house, and it's just not worth much of anything. So you can't put enough money in it to rehab it and then sell it for that. So what's happening is we got a bunch of people who are become landlords. And that's, you know, sometimes pretty tough to do, and renters unfortunately don't treat things the way
yes.
they would if they owned them. So we, you know, it's about empowering people to be able to take care of themselves and to achieve things, and hopefully if they don't have a vision can acquire one as we start looking at it and say, I really wish I could do that, and boy, it'd be great if I could do that and help myself and my community by putting some of my dollars to work there.
Well, you lay that out there, in such a remarkable way. It's very relatable. It's very understandable. You talk about the role of the servant leader. There's so much in the book, and the book is The Dignity of Service, The Power of Social Entrepreneurship by our guest on the program, Nathan Mackey. That's M-C-K-I-E. Book published by Stratton Press. Their website, stratton-press.com. Book available wherever books are sold. And Nathan's website, information on all three books in the trilogy. It's the trilogy at dignitytrilogy.com. Of course, all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Nathan, the time went by way too quickly. So much more we'd like to talk about, and hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for spending some time with us. Thank you for taking on this very important subject, making it understandable and presenting it to all of us, as I say, with a roadmap. It's not just talk anymore. There's a way that we can get this done. You've been doing it. Thank you for being with us on the program.
And thanks for the opportunity. I'm always happy to talk about it.
there's so much more to talk about. I'm sure we'll be doing this again. Nathan Mackey, that's M-C-K-I-E, author of the Dignity Trilogy, this book specifically we're talking about, The Dignity of Service, The Power of Social Entrepreneurship. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.